Blog Talk Radio.
Done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. If I had 10,000 tongues, it still wouldn't be enough.
radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for another Thursday morning. We thank that we come into the closing of another week ending. Thank you for bringing us this far, this week. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us, what you're doing right now, and what you're going to do. You're almighty God and have all power. There's no higher power today. And Father, we thank you. In spite of us, you're yet on our side. You said that if you be for us, you are more than the whole world against us. And we thank you this morning. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts, thanksgiving in our mouth unto you this day. But Father, there's none like you. You're almighty God that have all the power. There's no higher power. And today we come bow down and humbly before you, asking that you would lead and guide us in the right path for your name's sake this day. Father, you know what's best for us, and give us what's best today, and help us to accept what you allow. Help us to accept the best that you give to us. For again, you know what's best. And Father, you won't withhold no good thing from us. We love you today. And Father, we honor you. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And again today, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. We need your help. God, we need your lead, your guidance this day. In the name of Jesus, we ask. And Father, I bring every caller and every listener before you this morning, those coming through the archives and the podcasts, ask that you would bless them today, bless their families, bless their friends, near and far. God, we ask that you would move for these your people like never before this day. Help us to remember to prepare for your return. Help us to remember faith and to believe in you and to trust you this day. But Father, there's none like you, and there's nothing you can't handle. With man, things are impossible. But with you, almighty God, all things are possible. And we thank you for the possibilities that you're bringing our way today. We thank you for opening doors and making ways for us today, O God. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper today. We thank you that no calamity shall come nigh our dwelling today, O God. Hallelujah. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow is not promised. So, Father, we are here today. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. We thank you for making ways where we see no way. We thank you, O God, that you saved us. You sanctified us. You set us aside unto yourself. And we're grateful unto you this morning. And we thank you that all things are going to work together for our good today, O God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Asking this morning that you would bless those that are incarcerated and their families, those that are in every branch of the military and their families. Thank you this morning for healing the sick here, O God. Those that are not feeling well, those that are going through in their bodies. God, we thank you for healing those that are going through in their minds, God, mentally, God, and emotionally. We thank you this morning that, Father, you're healing right now. Even as we're asking you, for you heal all manner of sickness and disease. Ask this morning, Father, that you would bless widowers and bereaved families everywhere. Many have gone on, and families are hurt, God, and they feeling that they would never see this person again. But, Lord, if they got it right with you, then they have a chance of seeing each other again. Do it, Lord, today. Bless today. As only you can do, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Ask, Lord, that you would bless intercessory prayer people, preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus, in obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, continue to bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Continue to send your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect them. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Remember our brothers and sisters overseas today. Father, we ask that, God, you would bless these your people, that you would move for their families, their children, move through their households, O God. Anything that's not right, make it right for them. in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know what they stand in the need of today, safety. They stand in the need of food and shelter and clothes and finances. Do it for them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask that, God, you would remember America this morning. Have mercy, O God. And Lord, we ask that you will continue to let your grace and your mercy abound for America. And Lord, anything that shouldn't be, we ask that you would remove it this day. For you made it for your pleasure. You know what's going on everywhere in this country. But Father, your eyes are in every place. You're beholding the evil and the good. Bless America today and every American. Move by your spirit, Lord. Again, what shouldn't be, Lord, we bind it up and cast it to the pits of hell, never to return in the name of Jesus. And we loose your blessings, your anointing, and your mind-changing power upon the American people today. In the name of Jesus, you said that which we bind on earth, you're binded in heaven, and that which you loose on earth, you're loosed in heaven. Do it today, O God, all for your name's sake, that you'll be glorified in the name of Jesus. Bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here today, God. Feed us until we want no more. Bless us through your word here this morning. I'll move in a mighty way. Lord, let us hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. But God, we will stand up for your word. We will stand on your word. And after standing, we'll stand some more. Because, Father, we're standing on your word, the sure foundation. Hallelujah. We're standing on the truth. And we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And, Father, this morning I bring our children before you. I bring our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren before you. And Father, we ask that you would fix their hearts and regulate their minds today. Remind them that they were taught about you and anything that's going on that they can't fix. Lord, I ask this morning that they would come to you and ask you for help this day in the name of Jesus. For Father, the enemy has snatched so many minds and even children, our adult children, our grandchildren, even the great-grands, God, the enemy has come in, and all they can see is what they want. All they can see is money and the things that they desire. But, Father, give them a spirit of love this morning, that they would love their grandmothers. They would love their mothers. They would love their grandfathers, God. They would love their fathers, their great-grandmothers, their great-great-grandfathers. Do it today, oh God. In the name of Jesus, move by your spirit. For your people, for Father, many of us have done all that we could do, the best that we know how, to train our children in the way that they should go, so when they get old, they won't depart from it. But Lord, we need your move. We can't say no more. We can't do any more. So we give it to you this morning, and we walk away expecting your blessings to fall upon our children in the name of Jesus. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise for all that you're doing. In the name of Jesus, all that you've done and all that you're going to do, again, in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask it all in your son Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning. But Father, there's none like you. You're on our side today. Hallelujah. In spite of us, you're moving right now and blessing us right now. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Can't thank you enough. And we know that you're able. And God, we know that you're for us this morning. Hallelujah. If we'll just believe, keep the faith, and continue to trust you all the way. Oh, for you got everything in control. You made the heavens and the earth. And we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough. Oh, yeah, for you have it all in control for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to this one. And when we come back, we'll come back talking a little bit more of encouragement. And today I decided to bring Bishop Rudolph McKissick. And his message is the right touch. Huh? How about the right touch? Because if we get that right touch, we on our way somewhere, or we doing real good. Anybody ever got a good hug from somebody you love and you knew they loved you? That was a right touch. Ah, yeah, we felt good, yeah. So today, if we get the right touch, we're going to feel good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to this one, the Lou and Sherry song. And when we come back, we'll come back with encouraging words.
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The house of prayer is their band playing this morning. The blood that Jesus shared for me way back on Calvary is the blood. Oof. Oh, it blesses day to day, and it will never, ever lose its power. Hallelujah. Reaches from the highest mountain to the lowest valley. And we thank God for that precious blood that was shed for us, because without that blood, we wouldn't be here today. Hallelujah. We thank him for redeeming us back to him. We're grateful to him this morning. We appreciate him. And we thank Almighty God. And, you know, I just was thinking here recently, and there are so much going on today. People have lost the love for others, and they became lovers of themselves. I'm telling you, it's a sad and pitiful thing. Husband and wives, and children and parents, and all kind of things. You know, all kind of places, all kind of people. And I got to be honest, I feel like women lead the way in everything. Women, we lead the way in everything. Been leading a lot of years, yeah. And the whole thing of this is this. If you're a godly woman and you are truly seeking God, you should know about leading the way, because God will tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and where to do it. But many times we are leading the way ourselves. We've forgotten God, and we're allowing ourselves to do whatever it is in our marriage or our relationships with our families and in different places, that on the job, at church. And things don't always go right. The scripture talks about silly women. Yeah. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, and a lust with an S on the end. And sometimes without knowing it, women, including myself, we can be silly. And we can settle for things. And God didn't give us the spirit to just settle for something. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And if we'll go to him about every little thing, he will fix it for us. But again, this morning, we got to have patience to wait on him. We can't do nothing about what's going on. We can't change it. And that's a big problem, too, with women. We always think we can change something. I'm telling you the truth. We think we can change something right now and make it better. Yeah, change it into what we want it to be. If they would just do this, and sometimes, I'm going to be honest, sometimes it's what the person need to do. It's what the child need to do. It's what the husband need to do. It's what the wife need to do. It really is a simple fix. But if this is not what they want to do, I don't care how easy it is, how simple it is, it's not going to be what they do. And some people have a stubborn mind, a stubborn heart. However they feel it, however they see it, however they want it to be is what they're going to do. Listen, let me show you this way, honey. It's easy. Nope, they're not going to take the easy way. They're going to make it difficult for themselves and difficult for you. Women, we need to seek God to have more self-esteem. We are the weaker vessel, and we are supposed to honor our godly husband and obey him. Yes, yes. Because he's telling us what's right concerning God. But even in that, we need to have strength enough to know when we are being abused, when we are being used, when we're being abused. And that's not God's plan for us. I believe women are real close to God, He made her second. He brought her out of the rib of Adam. And she disobeyed God because she listened to the serpent and went over there fooling with the fruit. Now, we don't know if it was an apple or not. It didn't say apple. It said fruit. Even in that, God loved that woman. He had to pass down punishment upon her, but he yet loved her. And he blessed women that we could have a nation of people. All but he has. One woman, many children. Yeah. Their children can have many children. He blessed that woman. But many times the woman don't take time to seek God to see who she is and what she possesses. So she don't know these things, so she just accepting any old thing. And she get caught up in the lust too. A lot of times what she should do and where she should let go, she can't. Because lust got her. I'm not saying it don't happen to men, but I'm not a man. We talking about women this morning. Let it go. I'm talking to godly women. I'm talking to women that say they went to the altar and they said, I do. They got the Holy Spirit. They know God and they work unto him in different ways. That's who I'm talking to this morning. We got to learn to let it go. Stop trying to change it. Stop trying to have it our way and let God have his way in us. And we'll soon see what God does. I've told women, look, honey, you need to go on. You need to let that go. They can't do it because they're thinking of what they're losing. Well, if you're being abused, if you've been shown you're not really loved, yeah, he pimping you, go on. God got something better, much better for you. It may not be another man. It may be he want to bless you in other ways. And as he's blessed you, you desire to bless your children in a certain way. Even your adult children, you desire to be a blessing to them. But you stuck over here. And you're allowing this and that to take over you. You're allowing the devil to use you and to pimp you and to make you look crazy and be embarrassed. And you don't care nothing about that because you're leaning on your flesh and lust got you. For godly women, we got to learn that we can let it go and let God fix it for us to make us better. This way we can be better for children. We can be better for ministry. But when we're holding on to the nonsense, holding on to foolishness, and I'm so glad I was married before because nobody can say, well, see, she never been married, so that's why she can talk like that. No, 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 no. Been there and done that. Did not come out the marriage bitter. I want you to understand. Did not come out the marriage angry. Guess how I come out the marriage? All happy and ready to celebrate. Because I wanted to get rid of him. I just didn't know how. Woo! I wanted to get rid of him a long time ago. I just didn't know how. And when I became a godly woman for real, God showed me the way. I had to wait on some things I didn't even know. I had to wait. But in God's perfect time, he set me completely free. And whom the Son set free is free indeed. So I don't have to take abuse. I don't have to take misuse. I know if you love me, love is what love does. And if you don't love me, I'm able to say, so long, bye-bye. Yeah, I'm able to do that. And I don't have to do it and get another man. I've learned years ago how to bring my flesh under subjection, especially in that area. Yeah, because I know what I have to pray for me. Yeah, I know the prayers I have to pray for myself and keep myself on the right track. So if I had a husband, that would be double prayer. And to me, it would be double work. Yeah, because see, we think we get married and we have children and we have somebody to talk to. We have somebody to help us, somebody to take care of us, They change the, take the car for the change of oil. They get, put gas in it. They fix tires. Something break down at the house. They take care of that. The washer give out. They go buy another one. We think we got all these earthly, natural, fleshly things. But I'm here to tell you, if God gave you a husband or wife, it is for ministry. It's for ministry. It's not for selfishness. It's not just for your flesh. But because God put you together and you're willing to be together unto him, he'll give you the comfort of each other. You'll have somebody to hug you. You'll have somebody to give you a kiss, make love with, all this kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. But silly women, they won't hear to the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. No way, no how. She got to be crazy. I'm not leaving him. Yeah, well, stay on being abused and stay on in there being hurt. Because I'm not over there being abused and I'm not going to ever be there being hurt. Come to tell you the truth about the situation. God come to bring you out of dark place. You don't want to come out. Because the lust of your flesh is ruling and reigning. This is why I teach, walk in the spirit. Because see, when we walk in the spirit, we're going to see some things that the natural won't show you. Your flesh won't tell you this. Your flesh won't show you this. Your flesh is a deceiver. So we want to walk in the spirit. We want to make sure we got the instructions of God. So Sustina and I was talking and she told me, I went to God for myself and I asked him and he told me no. Know this. She said the first time I wasn't sure. He spoke a month and I wasn't sure about that month. So I went back to him again and that's what you have to do. We have to make our calling and election sure. Thank you, Brother Lewis. 2 Timothy 3:5-7. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, Louis, you done fixed it all right there. You done added 7 to it. 7 is what fix it all. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. My goodness. I see so much of that today. I see so much of that. And when they hear the real truth, they reject it. They ever learning. They forever going over here learning from the pastor. They learning from the church. They learning from this class. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. All of that, and they still don't know the truth. All of that, and they don't know which way to turn. All of that, and they still confused. You got to let go and let God be God in your life for real. You got to seek God with your whole heart. Forget your flesh. It's a deceiver. If you go with your flesh, the enemy going to kill, it's going to steal, and it's going to destroy you. Ever learning. I know people got all kind of books. Well, you know Jim Brown from around the corner over there from Bible Way, Skip the Do-Right, he wrote this book. And I'm reading this book. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, silly women. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He said, from such, turn away. We got to turn away from our own self. Do you know I had to turn away from me? And ask God to make me over? When I came to him, I came to him just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. He made me over. And I found in him a resting place. Today I can let you know it's him that made me glad. But we do some weird stuff. and yet say we the women of God. We do some weird stuff and we just talk about God. We got to live this thing daily. We got to live this life unto God every day, and we can't forget. If you have to pray the prayer, Lord, I'm human and humans forget, just remind me. Remind me, dear Lord, this is where we got to go. Time is winding up. I'm telling you, time is coming to an end. You've never seen things the way you see things today. Yeah. We're preparing daily for his return. And aside from that, we want to walk upright before him. Because, see, we so worried about what we want. We so worried about doing what he said do so we can get what we want. So that we can get the desires of our hearts. But if your desire is a natural desire, you can forget that. He going to do that anyway. He said if you delight yourself in him, he would also give you the desires of your heart. So if you delight yourself in him, you ain't got to worry about what you want in the natural. The house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, the big Bentley, the this, the that. Lord, I just want a husband, God. I just want a husband. I just need a wife, Lord. I need a wife. You ain't got to worry about all that foolishness. He going to bring it to pass. Lord, I'm going through. You gave it to me. It left, God. It left. Don't worry about it. Pray and keep going. He's going to give it back. But he said you got to delight yourself in him. You got to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things to be added. But we do that once we get in trouble. See, we're not doing it the whole time. We do it once we get in trouble. Once we get in trouble, then we want to straighten up and fly right. Anybody ever heard the saying, when the cat away, the mouse would play? And that's the way we do God. See, we're not seeing him. He didn't take nothing yet. Ain't nothing so bad I can't handle it right now. So what I do is I'm just doing my thing. I'm going to church. I talk about God. I raise my hand in church. Hallelujah. Yeah. But I'm not talking of his wondrous works. I'm not making it a point to work that ministry. I'm not even making it a point to investigate the ministry. And then what he gave us to work ministry, when it disappeared, here we come. But we got to stay with God. Please stay with God in this hour. Don't have a form of godliness. Don't deny the power thereof. Seek God with your whole heart in this hour. I'm telling you, it's something coming. You talking about a house on the hill with a dog named Fluffy. You talking about getting married. Honey, all of that will go out. You'll forget about that thing. Even when he returns. I heard this. Things were bad. Things going to get real good. Things going to get back real good, and all of a sudden, here come God. Folk going to still be traveling. Folk going to still be making money. Folk going to still be getting married, having babies, living what they call the American dream, all of this stuff. The sky going to crack, and here he come. And what are we going to do? Because we've been chasing after stuff and things of the earth. We've been chasing after things of the natural. In the flesh, we weren't chasing after him. Before day this morning, Philippian come to me. I said, yes, Lord, in the day I get in the book. I got some appointments. I got a dental appointment and some other stuff. But while I'm there, I'm getting in the book. Because there's a purpose for it. There's a reason for it. He's got a plan for me through Philippians. Yeah. And we got to pay close attention. Because he'll show us things. He'll tell us things. And we confused. We don't know what's what. But if you fellowship with him long enough and commune with him long enough, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. But I've never seen so many women go through like they're going now. There are days I look back on my mother and I saw the strength of my mother. My dad always wanted her to be jealous. It was too funny. He always wanted to tell her something. Hey, you heard what sister of so-and-so said to me, didn't you? She said, no, but whatever she said it to you or said it about you. I don't think it have anything to do with me. And she would go all maybe hang up a load of laundry on the line, or maybe she cooking something. He'll come back later on. So that don't mean nothing to you. She said, no, that don't mean anything to me. I told you, she said it to you about you. Why should I involve myself with it? I'm not in it. He would come back with something else. He liked to play pranks. Oh, he was a prankster from his heart. He loved to laugh. Oh, my goodness. And he would do things to make you laugh. But he was always trying to get her, and that just who she was not, because she knew him. And she knew she had him. And she wasn't worried about it. Yeah. Because for one thing, she knew he loved us. He loved his children, and he loved her. Because, see, the proof was in the pudding. He took care of her. He provided for her. Yeah. He helped her. She had a flower order to get out. He would just got in from work, pull his shoes off and everything, get his regular clothes on or whatever, and he'd help her with her flower order. And sometimes he might call us, y'all come and break this wire for your mama while I do this for your mama. Uh-huh. But today, I don't know. I think because of loneliness, women feel lonely. And they just want a body. They don't care what. He ain't got to work. He ain't got to be in a position to take care of them. Just come on with me. I'll take care of you. But that's not the way God designed it. He told Adam what to do for Eve. And that go for every man. Now, if he need a little help, nothing wrong with helping your husband. But you're not supposed to be the breadwinner in your house. You're not supposed to be taking care of him, and you married him that way. You married him like that. Yeah, come out what you can do. See, because we always want to change things. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did, Brother Mike. Yes, they did. And let me tell you, Brother Mike, he used to do stuff like turn the chair, she go to deliver flowers. When she come back, the front porch chairs turned down. He done got off work early and turned the chairs down on the porch and hiding in the back of the house, waiting for her to get there and see the chairs been turned down. And she would say, look what y'all daddy done did. He done got off work early and turned these chairs down. And we'd turn the chairs back up, go on through the house, and then in a few minutes he'd come in, hey, hon. She said, you need to stop with your foolishness. What I done? She said, you turned them chairs down on the front porch. That's what you did. He'll start laughing. She said, you need to quit. I'm busy. You always want to play. Man, I got stuff to do. Well, hon, let me help you. She said, no, you can't help me with this because you don't know how to bake a biscuit. He came up, but I know how to bake a cake. She said, well, I'm not making cake right. Oh, it would be so funny. It would be so funny. And then how she would get him back, he loved a starch and iron shirt on Sunday morning. He loved his suits being taken to the cleaners and brought home with the plastic over. Oh, that was his thing on Sunday morning. He loved for his shoes to be shined. So my brother and I, we would shine up his shoes, you know, whatever shoe he was wearing and matched his suit that Sunday. And he was coming in, he would say, babe, because that's short for baby. Babe, where my shirt at? I can't find no shirt. She said, what? You can't find a shirt? Oh, my goodness. That's all she probably would say. And he would say, woman, I know you didn't forget to take them shirts to the cleaner. You know I got to have a shirt today. The deacon's lead devotion, I got to have a shirt. And she would be laughing, and he would be standing in the kitchen just in awe, just through dealing, talking to her. And she went in the bedroom and looked up top of the shelf of the closet and pulled the shirts down because they came in a box. Once they starched and ironed them, they would fold them real pretty, stack them on top of each other in a box. And it had this band around them. I'll never forget that. And he would come in the bedroom and the shirt would be on the bed and he would be looking. Now you see right here, you see, she said, well, you turn them tail down on the front porch. Yeah, that's the way it was. I never heard him say a hard word to her. I never heard her say a harsh word to him. Yeah, they always got along. She was apostolic. He was a Pentecostal. But yet they got along in the house. Yeah. You see? And when he met her, he came being able to provide for her. She worked at a laundry, and she knew how to do clothes real good. She even knew how to starch and iron shirts real pretty. But she had a florist, so she was, you know, doing her florist business. She didn't have time to do that, so she would take him to the cleaners, to, you know, the dry cleaners. And he come being able to provide for her. He didn't come to her talking about you work at the laundry and you got an income and I love you and I want to marry you, but I ain't got this and I ain't got, no, because you're starting problems right there. Let the man be the man. Let the man provide for his house. If he can't provide for his house, stop all of that. I'm going to help you. Especially if you're not married to him. Don't bring him into marriage being the man. Let him come. If he love you and he really wants you, he going to go and find what he need to find to be with you so that you will say, I do to him. I'm not telling you what they told me. I'm telling you from experience. Yeah. My ex-husband, when he came, he did all he needed to do and more because he wanted to show me, hey, if you'll be my wife, I'm going to take care of you. You don't never have it to worry about. And you don't just let him do it in a few days, a few weeks, a few months, and, oh, he's doing it now. You got to watch that. You're going to watch it. Hey, we still can go out. We still can go have dinner together. We still can go to the movies. We still can fly to the moon and back. But I cannot jump into a marriage with a man who came and he didn't have nothing to provide for me. Because I'm not the man. And if you're the man of my house, that's what you're going to be. I'm going to be the woman of the house, but you got to be the man. I'm not going to be both. Yeah, silly women. And especially women that say they're saved. If you got God, you shouldn't have to go through that. I'm not saying you're not supposed to help your husband. Yeah, because if you get into marriage and he come up short and you able-bodied, you're supposed to help him because you'll help me. But you don't bring him in there taking care of him. And women will do anything just to have a man. I've never seen a women like this. He thumping you all side the head and I'll get you in front of his relatives and friends and embarrass you, and you still there. No. So long, bye-bye. I'm a woman. I'm qualified. Some women, oh, well, see, if I wasn't so big, girl, I don't care how many pounds you weigh. Just like he came and you was 400 pounds, there's another one coming when you reach 500 pounds. I'm telling you. I see it every day. And in Florida, especially Jacksonville, Florida, the bigger the gal is, the better the guy feels. Because he feel like this, oh, she a big girl. She know what tastes good. She going to cook. Oh, she going to give me some snacks. She the kind when she watch TV late at night, she got something over there in that bowl. Oh, forgive me. But it's the truth. And he walking down the street. They got a car. Matter of fact, they got two cars. Because he providing for this big girl. And he sent her to the beauty shop every 2 weeks. She get her nails done, all this stuff they like. He doing all this stuff. And so they just decide, you know, to go for a walk because she told her, I want to lose some weight. He said, well, I'll help you. Come on. Well, I'm not going to be cooking like I used to. He said, well, okay, you ain't got to cook it for you, but please have it in there for me. I like the way you flip them collard greens. I like the way you turn that chicken over. Yeah. And he'd take her for a walk. He walking with her. I wish you would say something to her. Boy, you tell my ugly, he'll get ugly right now. You're not going to say nothing to my big girl because I love this one. Yeah. And he came in a position to provide for her. And he didn't look at her, oh, she's fat and out of shape. That ain't what he was looking at. He saw in her what he needed. And he saw in her that she was going to be there with him forever. Because he was the kind of man she was looking for. She was holding back because she thought, you know, men just don't care for fat ladies. You got some brothers out there, black, white, all kind, that love big girls. I'm just here to tell you this morning. So don't make yourself less than you have to. If you got low self-esteem, sisters in Christ, I need you to get in that word. I need you to get in your prayer closet and ask God to bring your mind where it should be. Because if God thank you something, how you going to let man make you less than God thank you? He owned the heavens and the earth. He's got all power. All power, thank Barbara, all of that. And I'm going to let some man tell me I'm less than God think that I am. So long, bye-bye, huh? So long, bye-bye. You got to go. Yeah, because I'm not going to have issues with who I am and what I'm capable of doing and my self-esteem because of you. You're the one with the issues. And you want to dump it on me. See, spirits leap and jump. I don't have time for it. I'm confident in who I am. I'm single by my own choice. I want to be single. Somebody told me, no, you done switched a man, traded a man out for food. The devil is a liar and a fool and will make a liar and a fool out of you. I'm single by choice. I got work to do. If I was married, all the people called me, I couldn't talk to you. I couldn't pray with you. I got to take care of this man. He owns his own business, and his business is prospering. His territory is increasing monthly. He needs my help, and I'm supposed to help him because I'm his helpmeet. You called him for prayer. I can't talk to you right now, sugar. We're going to have to talk later, if I can get to you later. No, God showed me. So I follow the lead of him. Yeah, and it's all right in Jesus' name. But sisters, come up in yourself. Come up in your self-esteem. Yeah, if you think your husband the finest thing, finer than wine, and he abusing you, he treating you less than, and all this, he's thumping you side your head and all of this, listen, it's another one finer than him that think you fine as wine. I don't care how much you weigh. You hear me? Get in the word. Get in your prayer closet. And tell God, I don't want my self-esteem to come up for a husband. I want it to come up for me. I want to learn to love me, God. I want to feel that I'm important because you said that I am. You so love me. You sent your son to die for me, God. I got to be something great. And keep it moving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we thank God this morning and we're moving on in him today. We're moving on in him. So we go, I just want to share that a little bit this morning because that come to me this morning. And I'm seeing all kind of things that women are allowing to be done to them. And it shouldn't be that way. It don't have to be that way. We got to think of ourselves as something good. We bring forth nations, I said. Nations. Women make nations because we have children. When you see the military, all them people in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, there's another branch. When we see all of these people, guess what? Some woman brought them forth. Each one of them had a mother. whether she's living, dead, whether she gave them away, whatever she did, he or she still had a mother. A woman brought them forth. See, but we don't think on that. We think on, he said I'm fat. He said I'm this. He said that. I'm going to say, like the world say, boy, bye. Matter of fact, boy, goodbye. Because that's who you are, a boy. And I'm looking for a grown man. Bye-bye. So long, bye-bye. Uh-huh. And it's all right in Jesus' name. Listen, we're going in this morning with Bishop Rudolph McKissick Jr. And his message today is the right touch. The right touch. Hallelujah. So we're going to take a listen to this morning. And afterwards, the studio will be open. If you have something you would like to say, feel free to press that number one and come in today. Hallelujah.
Would you bow your heads with me? God of grace and God of glory, once again, we thank you.
Thank you.
For the total sufficiency of your Son and our Savior.
Yes.
Thank you for the sacred space called sanctuary, where we gather as brothers and sisters of the faith to worship you and to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church.
Yes.
So speak to us now.
Yes.
Use my mouth to speak your words. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou dost do.
Yes.
In the matchless, marvelous, majestic name of the Master, we pray.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
We give all honor to the Spirit of Christ. Would you help me appreciate my brother, my friend, your pastor, the wonderful leader of this, the Alfred Street Church, Dr. Howard John Wesley. We celebrate him this morning. We thank God for him. And to the entire pastoral staff, and to all of the leaders, to all of you who are disciples of Alfred Street, to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ and in creation, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord our God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. I want to thank my friend, Dr. Howard John Wesley, one more time for inviting me to come and share here at the Alfred Street Church. I've been preaching at this church since the early 90s when I first came here under the leadership of Dr. John O. Peterson. And to see how this pastor continues to grow this church and continues to have such input and impact on this community is such a joy to my heart, and I am thankful for how the Lord is blessing this church and using this church. This worship has been incredible, beginning on last night with these men who have just been singing their hearts out. We bless God for them on today, and so we thank God for all. They tell me y'all got them everywhere, downstairs, overflow, all kind of places. And so we thank God for all who have shared with us in these four services. If you have a copy of the Word of the Lord, would you stand with me and take it and go to the Gospel of Mark and the 8th chapter. Gospel of Mark and the 8th chapter. Miss Soundman, can I get just a little bit more right here? Just a little. It's the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I need all the help. Man, you blessing my sanctified soul. Right there. All right. Thank you so much. Mark chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading at verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus said, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open, his sight restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." Amen. You may be seated in the very presence of our God. I want to preach this morning or this afternoon as the Spirit shall guide with this thought in our minds, the right touch. The right touch. When I was in seminary in the year 1987, my first year at what was then called the Virginia Union School of Religion, now the Samuel DeWitt Proctor School of Religion at Virginia Union University, my New Testament professor was a gentleman by the name of Dr. Boykin Saunders. Y'all keep taking up my time with all of that. Dr. Saunders is still the professor there at the seminary. And I shall never forget my first year, my first semester, probably my first month. Dr. Saunders took great joy in demolishing your Sunday school theology. He took great joy and delight in watching the perplexity on your face as he began to take apart your Bible and pick apart your Jesus. One of the things that he taught us early on about the Synoptic Gospels was that the Synoptic Gospels might have the same stories, but they're not necessarily in the same order. Because these Gospels, as you well know, were written after the resurrection of our Christ. They were written to particular people in particular contexts by particular people dealing with particular issues. And oftentimes, Dr. Saunders would say to us, what the writer would do in redacted form would be to take certain miracle stories and insert them after certain teaching stories to bring a highlight to something Jesus had just taught. He would oftentimes, or they would oftentimes, put a miracle story either right behind or right in front of something Jesus is going to teach or something that is about to occur. And that miracle story would be something greater than just another example of the supernatural power of Jesus. But to the first century church, it would model a message that they needed to hear. Such is the case of the story that I read for you today. This story is not something as simple as us showing once again that Jesus has the power to open blind eyes. It's not as simple or superfluous or surface as just giving us another example of the majestic power of the Master and the Messiah. But when you put this story in the first century mind and see where it is placed after a story and before another story that would give a message to the first century and to us sitting in here today. The story before this one is the feeding of the multitude. Stick with me. If you know the story, when the feeding is over, the Bible declares they got 12 baskets full of leftovers. They get on a boat, but the problem is they get on the boat and in haste, they leave 11 and only have one basket. So you have 12 hungry brothers who are very hungry looking at one basket to feed all of them. When you read the story, you discover that they began to have a dialogue back and forth about how in the world they're going to make it and how they're going to fill their stomachs, how they're going to satisfy their appetite when it's 12 of them and only one basket. Jesus says to them, watch this, how is it that you've been with me all of this time and you still act like you don't know who I am? How is it that you were just with me on this, watch this, on the seashore, and you watched me feed more than there are of you, starting with less than you have in the basket? If you really knew who I was, you would not be panicking. You would simply say, Jesus, the same thing you did on the shore, we need you to do it again on the boat. And the story ends with Jesus raising this question. Do you still not understand? In the Greek, that word is scopa. Do you still not see it? And the next verse starts a story about a man who can't see. Come to me after that story. When the man gets his sight, the story after the sight miracle is Jesus saying to the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Don't miss it. Y'all know the story. They said, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Jesus said, cool in the gang, but who do you say that I am? And Peter speaks up and says, remember, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but such is my Father in heaven. Don't miss this. The story before the miracle, Jesus says, why can't y'all see? The story after the miracle is what happens when you can see. The story before the miracle, Jesus said, y'all don't know who I am. The story after the miracle, Peter says, I know exactly who you are. And nestled between the two is the story of a man who's blind. So that to the first century church, it was a message of the danger of being in his presence but not seeing his person. It was a message to the first century church that it's a terrible thing to be around him but can't see him. It's a terrible thing to be around him but don't know who he is. It's a terrible thing to be around him but act like you don't understand his identity. And this story is inserted to show us how you get not just your sight but your vision to know exactly who Jesus the Christ really is. And I thought I would preach this morning, beloved, because there are many people in the church who are in his presence but don't know his person. There are many people in the church who are around him, but their activity proves they don't know him. Because if I could just give you a description from the text, when you are blind, you have to go where other people lead you. When you are blind, you are defined and confined by other people's vision. When you are blind, you are led where people want you to go. You don't have your own mind. You don't have your own vision. You don't have your own direction. You don't know how to say no. You don't know what to stay away from. You don't know who to stay away from. You are just led where other people lead you. And the text says that they come to Jesus. Now, I know many of you, when you heard the title, the right touch, you automatically assume that that meant Jesus. And it does. But it's a little deeper than that. And the reason I called it the right touch, Wes, is because Jesus is neither the first or the only person to touch him. He's blind. Which means if he's been blind, he's been led by other people. If he's been led, that means other people have had their hands on him. So other people have touched him but could not heal him. Because it matters who puts their hands on you. Okay. Other people have touched him but could not cure him. Because every touch cannot transform you. Every hand cannot heal you. And every contact cannot cure you. Preach, sir. And the problem with many of us is we're letting the wrong people put their hands on us. And because the wrong people are putting their hands on us, we are walking away still blind. It matters who puts their hands on you. Now, if I could go into the context of the text, that means that sometimes the hands we allow on us in the first century, it would have been Jewish hands that could not help them. It would have been Roman hands that could not help them. And in this modern day, it is this new spirituality. In this modern day, it is life coaching. In this modern day, it's Aliana fixing your life. Oprah fixing your life. Steve Harvey fixing. Y'all done got quiet. And the problem with many of us is that we're listening to life coaches, we're reading books who have hands but can't help you. You've got too many churches who are having the wrong hands. Too many churches are touching folk but ain't changing nobody. We're touching them with cotton candy sermons. We're touching them with music that's cute but not correct. We're touching them trying to be seeker friendly. We're touching them looking more like a club than a church. And they're leaving out the same way they came. They come and shout but leave jacked up because we touched them but don't transform them.
All right.
Some of y'all been getting the wrong touch. You've been getting touches that you thought would make you somebody. So you got touched with marriage and you weren't ready for it. You got touched with a job, thought that would make you somebody. You got touched with education, thinking success would define you. But today I came to declare that there is another touch that you need in order to have vision, and it's the touch of Jesus Christ. Everybody else can touch you and you'll never change, but if Jesus puts his hands on you, the old folk put it this way, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know he touched me. Made me. Oh, y'all sit down. Come on now. Woo! He touched me. How do I get the touch? Watch this. Watch the question. How do I get the touch that will ignite my vision? Did you get that? How do I get the touch that's going to ignite my vision? I've got three quick things and then we're going to eat. Here's the first thing. The first thing the text is telling to teach us is that if you're going to move to vision, you have to be connected to the proper people. Ooh. Relationship means everything. Who you are connected to has everything to do with everything. When you go to the book of beginnings and read the book of Genesis, you will discover that God puts a whole lot of stock in relationship. Come here, can I prove it to you? Yeah, have you ever found it interesting that God says in the book of beginnings, it is not good for man to be alone? That always tripped me out, preachers, because he had God. So how can he have God and God claim he's alone? I don't have time to preach that. This is our power. And so, but if you read the Bible says that God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Watch this. And then after that, he says, not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable. Now, let's take that out of the marital interpretation and just put it into the relationship interpretation. Because what trips me out, Howard, is that if you read the text, after God makes the statement, I'm going to make him a helper, God does not create Eve. He creates animals. And the text says that the animals paraded before Adam to see what he would name them. And then almost parenthetically, the Holy Spirit put in there, but there was not a suitable helper found amongst them. Y'all gonna miss it. Then God put Adam to sleep. If I pull over and I keep the motor running, will y'all let me pull over? You never get to your blessing till you stop messing with the beasts. I don't have time to preach that. And so God then creates Eve. Don't miss the point I'm trying to make, is that God knew Adam had God, but God knew that there were some things Adam needed that God would provide, but God wouldn't do. Y'all missed that one. Relationship is everything. You've got to be connected to the right kind of people. And the text gives us a description of who those people are. You need people in your life who will make themselves enemies to your weaknesses. You need people in your life who are so committed to you being all that God wants you to be that they will agitate you until you get out of anything that is beneath your purpose, value, and potential. Preach, boy. Here's what I love about this text. Everybody that brings the man to Jesus can see. Don't miss this. They bring the man to Jesus because they want the man to have what they have, sight. Y'all are missing this. They bring the man to Jesus because they want the man to be able to have the same use of the resource they have. Get away from people who want to keep you beneath them and don't want you to elevate like they have elevated. You need people in your life who want to share what they have and share how they got what they got and help you get up, get rid of the crab mentality, get rid of the haters, get rid of all the jealous folk, and you find you somebody who can help you know how they got it and want you to have it. They make themselves enemies to your weaknesses. Hold on. And here's the other thing I love about these kind of friends. I'm almost done. What I love about these kind of friends is that, watch this. I love this. They will initiate the intervention of intercession without your invitation. I'm going to come get you. He told me to take my time. I'm going to preach. They will initiate the intervention of intercession without your invitation. It's in the text. Intercession is when I take the issue or the problem of somebody else selflessly to the presence of the Lord. So they bring this man's issue to the feet of Jesus. That's intercession. But nowhere in the text do I see where the man asked to be brought. Nowhere in the text does it say they brought him because the man said, "Will you take me to Jesus?" Nowhere in the text does it say they brought him because the man said, "I need y'all to find me Jesus." They of their own initiative. The Greek word for brought there is a strong word in the Greek koinonia text. It almost implies they drag. It almost implies they gave him no choice. I need friends in my life who don't wait till I ask for prayer to pray for me. I need friends in my life who are so in touch with the Spirit that the Spirit can put me on their mind and they start praying for me sometimes without me ever knowing it. Do you know how you got delivered from some stuff? Somebody prayed for you. Do you know how you got out of some stuff? Somebody prayed for you. Do you know how some stuff got blocked that you weren't smart enough to walk away from? Somebody prayed for you. And I think on Alfred Street corner in Alexandria, somebody ought to just wave your hand and say, "God, thank you for a praying mama. Thank you for a praying daddy. Thank you for a praying grandmama. Thank you for a praying friend." Old church, put it this way. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. I'm so glad they prayed. You need friends who will pray for you even when you're not asking for prayer. I got to keep going. You're going to get your vision, you got to be connected to the proper people. Secondly, if you're going to get your vision, you got to learn how to be patient with the process. Listen, this is very tweetable. You cannot microwave maturity. This new preacher that wants to be an overnight sensation is absolutely fooling him or herself. I travel all over the country, as your pastor does, and you know what gets on my last nerve? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for keeping my tongue, because I remembered I might have said that a whole different way at Bethel, but let me tell you what gets on my nerves. When young preachers will approach me, and they don't ask me what books I'm reading. They ask me who made my suit. As if you even got the money, number one. To pay for the suit I have on. Number two, as if when I was your age, I was wearing suits like this. But they're so anxious and thirsty to be on top that they don't appreciate the process it takes for God to make you into the man or woman of God that God wants you to be. Anything you get quick, you ain't gonna keep. And it's not just preachers. This is whole millennial generation. They don't want to work for anything. They want everything quicker than right now, sooner than not yet, which is why they're going to these churches with these preachers who are pimps parading as preachers, talking about, I'll give you a check in 7 days, or if I lay hands on you, you're going to have accelerated debt cancellation. Talking about there's going to be a check in the mail in 14 days. They're going to these churches who are teaching them that God is some kind of infinitesimal Santa Claus who hopscotches down from glory to give you what you want on a silver platter. The devil is a liar. God will take you through some stuff to make you and mold you into who he wants you to be. And you've got to appreciate the journey as much as you appreciate the destination. Here we have a process. I got to go. Here we have a process. Here we have a process. Watch the process in the text. In the process of God getting you where he wants you to open your eyes for vision, here it is. There's going to be a season of separation. You ain't going to like this. See, I'm in the text. Watch the text. The text says, the people brought him and Jesus took it. Come back. The people brought him. Jesus took it. The people brought him. Jesus took him. Jesus took him from the people that brought him. When Jesus took him, he didn't invite the people that brought him. But when Jesus took him, he took him from where they brought him and who he brought and who brought him. Jesus disconnected him from the people that brought him. Watch this, because their only assignment was to get him to Jesus, not to go with him where Jesus is taking him. And the mistake we often make is trying to keep people permanent who were intended to be transitional. You can oftentimes make the mistake of trying to keep people around longer than their assignment was supposed to be in your life. And that's when you get in trouble, because the only people who should be in your life are people who have an assignment for your life. If you don't have an assignment for my life, there's no reason for you to be in my life. This is going to be bad grammar, but it's good gospel. Who do you need to be took from? It's bad grammar, but it's good gospel. Who do you need to be took from? Now I need to balance it and have integrity to the text, because normally when we hear this kind of thing, you need to be disconnected from people. It's normally followed, especially in this neo-Pentecostal day of preaching, it's normally followed by get away from them because they're demonic. Get away from them because they got spirits. Get away from them because you don't want them spirits around you. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If I'm mature in the faith, you ain't got no spirit that can jump on me. I mean, that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. But you know, that's only what we hear. Get away from them. You don't want their spirit on you. Get away from them. They're demonic. Now, that might be true, but that's not the truth of this text. The truth of this text is a harder test, Wes, because in this text, Jesus disconnects him from people who have been healthy for him. Oh. This isn't disconnect from jacked up or dysfunctional people. This is a disconnect from people who want him to be delivered. See, you have to be mature enough to know how you need sometimes to have seasons of solitude where you even separate from people who mean you good. Y'all done got quiet now. You have to want what the Lord has for you, because sometimes he cannot speak to you because you got too many other voices in your ear. Sometimes he cannot give you vision because you got too many opinions you're listening to. And you have to be smart enough sometimes to disconnect from people who are healthy for you but cannot go with you. Watch this, because if they go with you, their love for you might become your stumbling block. What you mean? Because Jesus is going to spit on him. And if I love him like I love him, I might try to stop the process because I don't think he needs to go through that. You got some people who love you so much that they'll see what you're going through, not knowing you've got to go through it, and do everything they can to talk you out of it, and you'll miss your blessing because their love became your obstacle. You got some folk that love you too much. Who do you need to get a quiet time from? I don't have time to pray. And so Jesus separates him. And then Jesus says to him, do you see anything? This is going to get good. I apologize, Wes, if they tear up the pews. I'll send a check. I'm lying. But us. I'm done in 10 minutes, but these next 2 minutes are going to get crazy. Jesus says, do you see anything? Homeboy says, I love the rustic language of the King James. He says, I see men, but it looks like trees walking. Jesus said, wait a minute. Well, Jesus didn't say that. That's my interpretation. Jesus said, wait a minute. I didn't ask you what you see. I asked you, do you see? You're answering what you see. Woo! And you're answering it in such a negative because you're so consumed by what's not still right that you don't know how to affirm what's better than it used to be. You around here talking about I see, but it ain't right. But you ought to be saying at least I can see something, because before today I couldn't see anything. And that's my question to you. I know everything's not right in your life, but do you see anything? I know you can't pay all your bills, but do you see anything? I know your marriage is still struggling, but do you see anything? I know your child is still crazy, but do you see anything? I know your friends are still fickle, but do you see anything? I know you can't find a job, but do you see anything? You ain't sleeping under a bridge. You're not sleeping in a cardboard box. You got a good night's sleep. You know your name. You got to church. Do you see it? And somebody ought to shout today, because your life might not be perfect, but at least you have progress. Come on, shake somebody's hand. Tell them it's better than it used to be. It's better than it used to be. I know it's not perfect, but I thank God it's better than it. I'm done. So Jesus said, wait a minute, I got to touch you again. I got to touch you again, because if I leave you looking like this, seeing men but looking like trees, you might treat men like trees and trees like people. I can't leave you like this, because you might run the risk of treating objects better than you treat people. God, that's a whole nother sermon. So Jesus touches him again, and the Bible says he saw everything clearly. I'm done. There's going to be concrete evidence of your clarity. Here's how you know you got vision. You ready? Jesus gives him one. In the New International Version, gives him one command. But if you go back to the original Greek Koinonia text, there are really two commands. It's in the King James. There are two commands Jesus really gives him. The first command is in the New International Version, where Jesus says, go home. Don't go back to the village. Now, they bring him out of the village. So exegetically, we already know that the village they brought him out of is not home. Because Jesus says, go home. Don't go back to the village. The village they bring him out of is Bethsaida. Bethsaida in biblical days was a cursed place. So Jesus says, now that you can see, don't go back to places beneath your value. Now that you can see, don't go back to places that will bring you back down to who you used to be. He said, I forgave you when they brought you out of there, because you just had to go where people led you. But now that you can see, when they try to lead you, you can tell them, I ain't going back there. See, when you got your vision, you'll say, there are some things I'm never going back to. I'm not going back to being that needy. I'm not going back to being that thirsty. I'm not going back to being that insecure. I'm not going back to being that depressed. I'm not going back to being that discouraged. There's some things. Well, wait a minute. The command that's not in the New International Version, that's in the original in the King James, is when he said, and don't tell nobody. Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. I've been blind. I can see. And you telling me, don't tell nobody? I ain't going where you think I'm going. You think I'm going. When the Lord has done something for you that you've been living with and delivers you, how do you keep it to yourself? That's a good shout. That ain't where I'm going. Dr. Miles Jones used to always accuse me of being too analytical, and here I go again. Here was my question, Wes. How do I even hide the fact that I can now see? Because I don't have to tell nobody. All they got to do is watch how I walk. Because stuff I used to trip over, I step over. Stuff I used to stumble over, I walk around. Because the evidence of transformation ain't your tongues. It ain't your shout. It's the way you walk. When your lifestyle is better, that's the evidence of your change. When your lifestyle is better, that's the evidence of your transformation. The old folks said, when you see me walking right, that's evidence that the Lord is using me. I'm done. I'm sorry I kept y'all too long. I'm done. This is not a miracle of first things. This is evidence of a get back. Huh? This ain't evidence of Jesus giving him something he's never had. This is evidence of Jesus giving him something that he lost. Can I prove it to you? Do you see anything? I see me. But they look like trees. If he was born blind, he wouldn't know what a man looks like. If he was born blind, he wouldn't know what a tree looks like. The only reason he knows it is because he's seen it. This ain't Jesus giving him something he's never had. It's Jesus giving him something back he lost. And I'm done. Is there anybody in here today who can say, I want it all back? I want my joy. Come on, let's hit D flat. I want my joy back. I want my mind back. I want my peace back. I want my family back. I want my children back. I want my vision back. I want my smile back. I want my business back. I want my finances back. Is there anybody in here who can say, I want it all back? Everything I messed up. Everything I got taken away from me. Everything that got snatched from me. The Lord can give it all back. Now there's some things I don't want back. But if the Lord gave it to me, I'm telling him, give it all back. I'm ready to treat it better. I'm ready to manage it better. I'm ready to do better. And is there anybody in this room today who can say, I haven't smiled in a long time, but I want my smile back? I haven't been positive in a long time, but I want positivity back. I want my joy back. Good afternoon, Alfred Street. May the Lord God bless you real good. But is there anybody in here who can help me close this sermon? Stand on your feet. If you want it all back, wave your hand. If you want it all back, clap for joy. If you want it all back, I promise you this the last time. But would you take one neighbor by the hand and tell your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, get it all back. That was the wrong neighbor. Turn on the other side. Put your arms around your neighbor. Shake 'em and rock 'em. Rock 'em and shake 'em. Shake 'em and rock 'em. And tell 'em neighbor. Get it all. I feel like preaching. I need a few witnesses today who know the Lord will give it back to you. The Lord will restore it to you. The Lord will fix it for you. Because he gave me back my life. I lost my life in the Garden of Eden. But he died on Calvary to give me back my life. And if you ain't got nothing else, you ought to shout because you got your life back. You ought to shout because you got salvation back. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he fight your battles? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't he give you joy and sorrow? Won't he give you hope for tomorrow? Won't he dry your tears? Won't he, 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 won't he? Because I know I'ma get it all back. Because I know he's gonna bless me again. I'ma give him the praise for everything I get back. And is there anybody in Alfred Street today who can thank your Lord that he restored your life? Can you thank your Lord that he restored your joy? And wave your hand and tell God thank you that I got my sight back. Tell God thank you that I got my vision. And I once was blind, but now I see. High five your neighbor and tell them neighbor. Shout because you got it back. Give God praise because you got it back. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you have your joy? Then say so. Do you have your mind? Then say so. Do you have your peace? Then say so. And let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord.
You are an angel, let God have his way. You are an angel, and let God have his way. You are an angel, and let God have his way. You are an angel, and let God have his way.
Somebody
more than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Bishop Rudolph McKissick Jr., the right touch this morning. Hallelujah, we need that right touch. Yeah, we don't just need in and everybody touching us. We need the right touch. And many times I was taught that you just don't let in and everybody lay their hands on you. You make sure you know what kind of life these people are living before you allow them to lay hands on you. But when you have hands laid on you by Jesus, oh, you got the right touch right there. Hallelujah. It's the right touch. And that's where we go daily. We go to him to get the right touch. We pray. We stay in that secret closet. We stay in his word, yeah, so that we can be blessed. We can keep our mind on him. Ah, yeah, he'll keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind on him. Yeah, we can seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. You know, all these other things that we are desiring. But the greatest desire for the believer should be God, should be to live according to his word, to walk upright before him daily. That should be our greatest desire, to please him. Yeah, to do the things that he accepts. Hallelujah. He accepts us loving one another. He said this is how the world would know that we are of him, for the love we have one for another. Hallelujah. And so we're grateful unto Almighty God this morning for his word. We thank him for what he's done for us, what he's doing for us, and what he's going to do. Great and mighty things he does daily for us. Yeah. And he's worthy this morning. He's worthy of the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I thank him today for being on our side in spite of us, for looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. So we thank him this morning. I'm going to do a quick roll call. The studio is open. If there's anyone have something they would like to say this morning, please feel free to press that number one and come in today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning to you. Sister Dr. Goodman and Sister Jerry, Brother Anthony, and Sister Simone, and that maybe Apostle Boat, right? I got to get those numbers right. Good morning to you, Sister Diane, and to Sister Rita, Sister Andrea Spinner. I think I saw her earlier. Good morning to you, and good morning to you, Sister Mary Ann. I saw Sister Rose Brown earlier. Good morning. God bless you. And Sister Melody Rose, Sister Angela, and Sister Laura, Sister Alexis, Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Diane again, Sister Sion, Sister Angela Foote, and Sister Anna Lee Foote. Good morning. God bless you. Good morning to you, Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa and Sister Yvonne and Apostle Boatwright this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Good morning to each and everyone. Good morning to you again, Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Dan, Brother Mike Hopps. Good morning to you, Brother George West Perry and Brother Lee Hamilton this morning. Good morning to you. And I'm going to check on Brother Frank today. I hadn't seen him in a couple of days, so I would check on him today. I know he's always busy working on something. And so we just thank God this morning for blessing us and for keeping us together. And I'm thankful that I can see the area codes in the studio, you know, and I just thank God for it this morning. I got to be honest, I'm a little tired. I am. And Sion, I'm adding numbers. Hopefully today, as soon as I finish these appointments and get back, I plan to turn the phone off and get these numbers and get all of that straightened out, because I've been some kind of busy, and then my niece is calling me. Last night, I just couldn't answer. I'm tired. I'm tired. I can't do no more right now. But I thank God, and today I will be gone because I have, well, I got first appointment, then I got a dental appointment. And so I'll be gone most of the day. And even as I'm going and driving, I won't be talking on the phone today. So most likely my phone would be off because I got to focus on what I got to get done today. And we thank God. We thank God. So we praying. We praying for everybody. And my daughter called me around 11 my time and 7 o'clock her time. And we pray the prayer of faith for everybody that attend Jesus in the morning, whether I see them or don't. Those come through the archives and the podcast. We pray daily for you, hallelujah, that God would bless. And so we're thankful unto him, almighty God, that have all power. All right, Sister Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I am well. How about yourself?
I'm blessed. I can't complain today.
Me too. You know, yesterday I wasn't feeling well, but as soon as you start asking people to pray, and I started praying, I said, Lord, I am just supposed to pray when I don't feel up to par. As soon as I prayed, God moved. I started feeling so much better.
Man.
Every day is a blessing, but the message, don't let everybody touch you. In other words, not everybody can be in our presence. We don't want their spirits of what they're doing to hop on me. You can't be touching me because you might say you with God, but if you with God, you started coming to me saying the same thing. God said, I heard you the first time. So which means you either doubting God, disbelieving, or you fear. He said, I don't do fear, doubt, and disbelief. So I thank God today that when I ask him one time, Lord, I'm sick. Have mercy on me. Before I got it out my mouth good, I started feeling better. I said yesterday, I said, oh, I'm just not going to cook. I'm just going to, I guess, wallow around and not do anything. But God, I felt so much better. I said, you know what? I think I'm going to get up and cook. I can't let the spirit of depression hop on you because that's what it'll do. It'll creep in and it's all over you. You think you're sick, but you're really depressed. You think one way, but it's really something else. Take your mind off the situation and put it on God. I believe when the man was blind, he believed Jesus. He took his mind off of what he was going through and trusted God. So when God said, what do you see? I see men looking like trees. Well, first of all, you've been blind since birth. How you know what trees look like? Okay. Go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam, and you'll see men looking like me. But see, he had to believe it. He had to believe it, or he the went there and still came back not seeing. The lady with the issue of blood, she had to believe. She said in her mind, all I need is just to touch him. She had to believe it. She touched him. He didn't touch her because he said, somebody touched me. Master, how do you say somebody touched you with all these people? Jesus know when you touch him because something went out of him. She's afraid, but she touched him. All you got to do is touch Jesus with your word. And I promise you, whatever it is, it'll leave you. Sometimes we touching Jesus, but we know what the situation is. We just don't want it to let go. We still want the old when Jesus is trying to give you new. We still want to walk down the old path when Jesus said, let me direct your path. Let go and let God have his way. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Someone going to put too much salt in the greens because you put yours in. You use Larry's seasoning salt. They use some other kind of salt. Then we put another type of salt. We got nothing but what? Salty greens, ugh. But if we just step back look to the hills from which I have come from. I help coming from the Lord. I know I was raised on faith. There were times we opened the refrigerator and we say, Mom, all the cheese gone. She said, baby, don't worry about it. Mom, you going to make some more of the milk? Just give me a moment. Things going to change. She had that type of faith. She said, well, why don't you all go to your room and start cleaning up? I got something to do in here. She would go over in that corner and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee, for there's no other help I know. Lord, my refrigerator is empty, and I have nothing else but you. Please provide. See, she didn't have a husband, but she had a lot of children. And none of them she birthed. She didn't birth the first child. But she took in 7 children. And there were constantly days she was stretching her hands to thee. When she got up out the corner, and I know it sounds crazy, somebody was knocking on the door. They were bringing the box of, I don't know, steak, cheese, and butter, that meat. And then some of her customers would still come. Even Miss Tillis was bringing me clothes with my bad behind self. She was bringing me little dresses. Miss Knight would bring in pants. And, oh, we dressed it like we was from the Millionaire's Club. But we dressed that way because Mama stretched her hands to thee. But there was no other help she knew. She didn't trust man. She didn't even depend on her customers. Every morning they say, good morning, Lord. I mean, my brother and I, we used to, oh, there go Mom talking to the invisible again. But she didn't care what she heard her saying. She'd say, go in that room and clean up. Mom, we don't have nothing to clean up with. Take this gallon of bleach and figure out how to clean up, clean up. When people come to my house, they go, God, you been using that bleach? Yeah. You take this gallon of bleach and you clean up. You are how you were raised. If you were raised that God will provide, he will. If you were raised, God will move a situation, he will. Who the Son set free is free indeed. But you got to want to let go of the situation in God and for God to move. Let it go. Let it knock. Don't let it keep knocking you down. Walk away. When you walk away, God go to moving. But if you sit there and steady stare at the situation and you don't want to let go of the situation, but God's going to just not do anything because, see, you still talking about it, you still looking at it, you still worrying about it. Well, if you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. The last thing my mother taught me before she died, put every situation in God's hands. I don't care what kind of trouble you're in. It may look one way, but God can move on the situation. When I had my son, I was all really by myself having him. But when I woke up, oh, my God, it only hurt for a little while. Trouble don't last always. When God tell you to do something, do it. Don't hear him and still ignore him. Each and every one of us hear God. And if you don't know where to find him, pick up that Bible. Go to John. Go to James. Go to Luke. Go to Mark. Go to Matthew. Go to Job, who the devil had a real run with, the man that lost it all. But in the end, God gave it back 7 times over. Sometimes you have to lose in order to win. I realized that yesterday, as sick as I was, all I had to do was say, Lord, have mercy. I didn't really pray. I text Sister Barbara and said, I'm so sick. And then God said, why are you telling her? I'm right here. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sick. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm so sick. Before Sister Barbara said, pray for Jerry, I was feeling better. There's nothing more powerful than God. People can put their hands on you. They can slot a gallon of Crisco oil on you or whatever kind of oil they can find. But God can change any situation, but you gotta believe. Seven children was raised with one woman and no husband. And when we went to the refrigerator with our little greedy butts, "Mom, there's nothing for us to eat." She said, "Well, go in there and clean up your room." "But what we gonna eat?" "Go clean up your room. I'll take care of that in a minute. Something's getting ready to happen." She had that kind of faith. They used to deliver milk in the bottles. The milkman used to deliver the milk in the little bottles. Time the other people came with the boxes of food and people were coming with clothes, we opened the back door and there was the milk sitting out there. "The milkman came, Mama." "I know. When we gonna pay him?" "Don't worry about that." She had that kind of faith. Don't worry. God is the provider. Taught me these words. You have a Jehovah, Jireh, Nisan, and Shalom. Always walk in peace and in faith. Because our God, and I mean she was dying, holding my hand. Your God will take care of you. But you got to believe, Gary. I mean, you got to believe it like you walk in this house and don't worry about the flow falling in and man built back. Have that kind of faith. And your life will not cause you calamity. And so far, 65 years, I'm all right. I might not be eating caviar. Filet mignon. But I'm eating some chicken wings and they taste really good. Really, really good. I'm not picky about what I eat. As long as God give me some cake, I'm good to go. So I thank you, Jesus, for meeting every one of my needs. I have no husband. I used to have 3 checks. I'm down to 1 check and have the same amount of bills. And I have leftover every month. My light bill went from $313 a month to $160 a month. But God, he knew. He knew. Somehow or another, I was paying $299 in cable. I pay $113 a month. But God. So I thank God today. I thank him so much today. That he loves me enough to say yes to my will and my want. I'm so glad I met you, Sister Barbara. I get to tell the world the wonders of how God is doing me. I get to not just say it in my house. I want to announce it to them. I want the whole world to know. God is so good to me. Not because I'm so good, but because he so loved a wretch like me. Hallelujah. I'm just that wannabe that woman if I could just touch the hem of his garment. It ain't about God putting his hands on me because not everybody should put their hands on him. It's about me touching God with my mouth, my mind, and my belief. Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's what we're supposed to be grateful unto him for all he has done, all he's doing, all he's going to do. Yeah, because daily he do great and mighty things for us. Look at Louis talking about wings. Mention food, he get excited. So we just thank God today, and we give him glory, honor, and praise. There's none like him. We can search all over. We still won't find nobody greater than him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to Mr. Calvin's song right quick, and when we come back, if anyone still have something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one. And come in today. And it's already all right. It's already all right. Yeah. I'm good this morning. I'm blessed. I won't complain. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Amen, Sion. Amen. So do I. So do I. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're going to this one, Calvin.
From Memphis, Tennessee, little small house, big family, 7 kids and I'm the baby. But I'm grown now and I'm like, praise the Lord, 'cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud, and I'm gonna take it. I told y'all I'm gonna make it. And when I Miss Rose Brown, and
everybody out there this morning, and just thank God for being able to hear one another's voice this morning and, you know, come together again to be able to, you know, come together and join and get some of this good word and some food for our spirit, man. I just thank God for, you know, just being able to, you know that he is our Savior and, you know, keeping us, you know, alive and well and good health and, you know, in our times of need, you know, we got, you know, one another, you know, our sisters and brothers in Christ, you know, we come and, you know, just get an encouraging word from one another and hear testimony, you know, to strengthen each other, help us get through our trials and tribulations, through our testimonies and, you know, knowing God and what he can do in our lives. So just thank God this morning and say again, y'all have a blessed day. Y'all keep me in y'all prayers. I keep y'all in mind. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brian. Hallelujah. He woke us up, clothed in our right mind. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. I couldn't imagine what it's like, you know, for those that are in mental institutions and can't remember. Some people lost their identity, who they are. Oh, my goodness. I thank God we know today. We know our name. We know who the president of these United States are. You know, we know our address. We know where we are supposed to be at this hour. And so we're grateful unto Almighty God for keeping our minds, because our prayer is, Lord, let this mind be in me. God, let it be in me that was also in your son, Christ Jesus. Yeah, he had a sound mind. And what he did is he wanted to please the Father. And these were the things he did. Yeah, obedience. That's what he wanted to do. Wanted to show the Father, I love you. Yeah, because he knew the Father loved him. And so we're grateful. This morning, we may get out a little earlier. I got one more request to play. And after this request, when we come back, if no one have anything they would like to say, then I will pray us out and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And tomorrow is Testify Friday, and we have a speaker, and we're going on in Jesus' name. But if you have a testimony, please feel free to share it. Yeah, and it's all right. So let's go to this one.
It was meant to kill me, sent to destroy me, and I thought that it would, and I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right, I'll understand if you wanna let me go, let me go, let me go, but you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go, go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go, go. And what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. It was meant to kill me, meant to destroy me, yep. And I thought that it was, yeah.
than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God this morning again and again and again because he's faithful unto us, and we thank him today. So if no one else have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out this morning, and after prayer, I won't be coming back. We won't. Well, we'll close with a little bit of a song, and not very long, and I'm out of here. I have to shower, get dressed, and make my way to my appointment, and then make the way to the next appointment and the next one. So we thank God this morning. He's able to see us through, and are grateful unto him. I can't tell him thank you enough, because all he has done for me. All right, so no one have nothing else to say. I will pray us out. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning, Father, for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, that word is settled in heaven. We thank you today, Father, for all you've done for us, what you're doing right now. And Father, what you're going to do today again, great and mighty things. We love you this morning. We appreciate you, and we are grateful unto you. But Father, there's none like you. And as we depart this morning, Father, I ask that you would bless every caller and every listener. Lord, I ask today that you would open up financial doors to these your people. And once you bless them, Lord, God, I ask that they would be true givers from their heart, not looking for anything back. I ask this morning that you would bring those that desire to be debt-free. Lord, move upon it today and make them debt-free. Bring them to debt-free status in the name of Jesus. And Lord, whatever else they need, I ask that you would supply it, and that God, it wouldn't bring debt. You said to owe no man. And Father, we don't want to owe people, but we need your help to become debt-free. We need your help to pay things off that we owe nobody. Help us today, oh God. Move for us in a mighty way. For without you, we can do nothing. We need you to move in this realm for us today. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to be financially stable so that we can be a blessing unto others. Again, Lord, do it for us in the name of Jesus. Bless our families. Bless our friends, oh God. And you know what they stand in need of this morning. Move by your spirit in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, as we close, bless our going out and our coming in. And again, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Do it for us today. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, August the 5th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we go into our last song of the morning. And after a short version of this song, I won't be coming back. God bless you. God bless you.
I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. All right? Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. No, you said it to the wrong person. Grab the person behind you and tell them, say, hey, you. I'm glad.
Didn't have a friend. Everything was gone.